نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. Its guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his Sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation in addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the blessing of Almighty Allah be with you all. And I would like to welcome all of you for continuation to our series concerning explanation and authentication of Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahmatullahi alayhi. And today, inshallah, we're going to be dealing with a new chapter, which is chapter number 25 from Kitab al-Tawheed. And this class constitutes class number 16, album number 2. That means today is the completion of the second album, alhamdulillah. And this is almost halfway of the book. So this is the last class concerning album 2. This is constitute class number 32 and page number 16 in album 2. Inshallah, as usual, we're going to read the chapter in Arabic, and after this we're going to hear it from Brother Najmuddin in English. After this we're going to give references to the verses, what surah and what verse, and after this we talk about authentication of the hadith. And usually we give the authentication from Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Arnaout or Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Albani, or authentication by Sheikh Muhammad Salih Ibn Al-Uthaymeen. So whosoever we found the hadith authentic in their books and their material, we say that it's authentic. If not, we leave the hadith alone. As for chapter number 25, بَابُ بَيَانُ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ السِّحْرِ قَالَ أَحْمَدُ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بِنْ جَعْفَرُ حَدَّثَنَا عَوْفُ عَنْ حَيَّانِ ابْنِ الْعَلَاءِ حَدَّثَنَا قَاطُمْ بِنْ قُبَيْثَةَ قبيصة عن أبيه أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن العيافة والطرق والطيرة من الجبت. قال عوف: العيافة زجر الطير والطرق الخط يخط بالأرض والجبت قال الحسن رنة الشيطان إسناده جيد ولأبي داود والنسائي وابن حبان في صحيح لهم المسند منه وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اقتبس شعبة من النجوم فقد اقتبس شعبة من السحر زاد ما زاد رواه أبو داود وإسناده صحيح وللنسائي من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه من عقد عقدة ثم نفث فيها فقد سحر ومن سحر فقد أشرك ومن تعلق شيئا بقل إليه وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا هل أنبئكم ما العضة هي النميمة هي النميمة القالة بين الناس القالة بين الناس ولهما عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن من البيان لسحرا فيه مسائل الأولى أن العيافة والطرق والطيرة من الجبت الثانية تفسير العيافة والطرق الثالثة أن علم النجوم نوع من السحر الرابعة العقد مع النفس من ذلك الخامسة أن النميمة من ذلك السادسة أن من ذلك بعض الفصاحة And now inshallah is brother Najmuddin reading the chapter in English.
Chapter number 25, Clarification of Types of Sorcery, As-Sir. Imam Ahmed, may Allah be pleased with him, reported, Muhammad bin Jafar narrated from Alf, from Hayyan bin Al-Ala, from Fitan bin Kabisa, from his father, that he heard the Prophet, blessings and peace be upon him, say, Verily, Al-Iyafa, that is, letting birds fly to foretell events, and Astar, drawing lines on earth to predict events, and at-tiara, taking sight on some object as bad omen, are al-jibt, that is, sorceries or magic. Alf, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Al-Iyafa is letting a bird's flight foretell events, while astark is drawing line on earth. Hasan Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, said, al-jibt is the screen of Satan, the devil. The above hadith has been narrated through a good chain of narrators and collected by Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Hibban. Abu Dawood reported in his book with Sahih Isnad that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that Allah's Messenger, blessings and peace be upon him, said, Whoever learns a part of astrology, that is, drawing knowledge from the stars, has learned a part of sorcery, magic. Those who learn more are getting that much more sin to their credit. In An-Nasa'i, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, is reported to have said, Whoever tied a knot and blew on it has committed sorcery, and whoever committed sorcery has committed shirk. Whoever wears an amulet or talisman may be subjected to its controller. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, is reported to have heard Allah's Messenger, blessings of peace be upon him, saying, Shall I not tell you what Al-Ad, meaning literally lying, sorcery, etc., is? It is conveying false rumors for the purpose of causing disputes between people. This is from Muslim. Both Sahih collectors reported from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger Muhammad, blessings of peace be upon him, said, Some eloquence can be so beautiful that it constitutes sorcery. Important issues of the chapter. Number one. Al-Iyafa, At-Tarq, At-Tiara, are three kinds of al-jibt, that is, sorcery or magic. Number two. Al-Iyafa and At-Tarq are explained. Number 3, astrology too is a kind of sorcery. Number 4, tying knots and blowing over them is also sorcery. Number 5, an-namima, that is, tail-bearing, backbiting, is also a form of sorcery. Important issue number 6, talking, sometimes superfluously and eloquently, can too be sorcery.
Thank you, Brother Nujmuddin. Jazakallah khairan. May Allah reward you. And thank you for listening, everybody. And inshallah, we go to give references concerning what we just heard. First of all, we don't have any verse that in this chapter to refer you to any Quranic verses. The first hadith that it shows in chapter 25, this hadith which reported by Imam Ahmad, and this hadith also in the collection of Abu Dawood. This hadith is weak. Sheikh Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi, he had marked this hadith to be weak in Da'if Abi Dawood, hadith number 842. The hadith is weak. The second hadith that we see in our chapter, which is reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and this hadith is authentic. The hadith is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood. The next hadith, which in the collection of Imam An-Nasa'i, and reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. This hadith, Imam Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, marked this hadith to be da'if in his book, Da'if Al-Jami', so the hadith is weak. Next hadith, which reported by Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, and this hadith is authentic. It is in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayh. Next hadith, in the last, in the chapter, which reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, inna min al-bayani la-tihra, and this hadith is authentic. It is in the collection of Imam Al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. Right? This all what we have in this chapter, and due to the fact that first hadith chapter 25 is weak, I'm not going to go in any explanation or details. And again, I said the hadith is weak, but a selection of what Imam Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi said in some meaning related to the meaning of this hadith, he said a human being shouldn't be pessimistic. You shouldn't be pessimistic, otherwise your life will be so corrupted and you will feel that everything is so narrow in front of your eyes, that because a person, when he is pessimistic, he will see this in everything. When you start to drive your car, when you step out of your house, when you see your wife, when anything is happening, okay? And whenever a person steps out of his house and sees something which is displeasing to him, right away he will feel bad and start to think that this is not a good day for him, and he may turn away from where he's going. Some people, for whatever reason, their problem to see something makes them feel bad and don't feel good about that day. They did not go to their business, they don't go to school, okay? And some people, they look to some days to be bad days, like, as example, say, Wednesday or Saturday. They consider it to be like a bad day. They call it a bad day or a bad luck. Some people, they saw pessimistic about a certain month. I know earlier to be Some people, even they lost a certain month to be a bad luck for them, so they don't get married during this month. And it's to be also in time of Jahiliyyah. And Aisha radiallahu anha had break the racket or break this habit by getting married during the month of Shawwal, and consummated her marriage in Shawwal, which is the month after Ramadan. And because the people used to look upon this month to be a bad luck, so nobody wants to marry during this month. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he married Aisha and consummated his marriage during this month of Shawwal. And this came in the collection of Imam Muslim, that she said, أَيُّكُنَّ كَانَ أَحْظَى عِنْدَهُ مِنِّي, which one was more luckier than me with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that the month, the time, the day doesn't bring any luck or bring any misfortune. So she had married in this month, and she was telling them, look, this is the month that everybody feel bad about it. I hear I got married in this month, and I am the most dearer person, or I am the most lucky person with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh was giving a general advice that a Muslim shouldn't be pessimistic by anything, by a bird, by hearing somebody saying something, or seeing a car accident, whatever it is, okay? A person always has to put his trust in Allah and to understand that everything in the hand of Allah, and he should go ahead forward for what he planning to do in his day without making anything to slow him or her down in what he planning to do. Like I said, I'm not going to go too much in details in this hadith, because the hadith was stated that it's weak, so we are not going to make any ruling concerning the hadith. The second hadith, which hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ اِقْتَبَسَ شُعْبَةً مِنَ النُّجُومِ فَقَدْ اِقْتَبَسَ شُعْبَةً مِنَ السِّحْرِ زَادَ مَا زَاد. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this hadith, which reported in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, and narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, whosoever learned a part of astrology, that means drawing knowledge from the stars, has learned a part of sorcery, magic. Those who learn more are getting that much more sin in their credit. Okay? This hadith is authentic. And when we're talking about whosoever learn part of the knowledge which related to the stars, not the stars itself, because nobody can possess the stars to learn about them. But here what it be meant that knowledge which related to the stars, which is supposed to indicate what's going to happen in the future on the earth. Like somebody saying, when these two stars closer to each other, such is going to happen. Or when this star go right or rise up, that so a great person will be born. Or if this person born in such time, which is such a star in the earth, in the heaven, in this area, in this direction, this will be a bad month or a bad luck for him. Anything that's happening in the earth is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we know the reason behind it and sometimes we don't know. But stars and planets have no effect in what's happening on the earth. Everything is by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moon, the sun, the stars has no impact on what can happen on the life or on the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he led the Sahaba in Salat al-Fajr. And after he finished the Salah, he said, Allah Almighty saying, that means Hadith Qudsi, what the meaning is, أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ بِي فَمَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَإِنَّهُ كَافِرٌ بِي مُؤْمِنْ بِالْكَوْكَبِ وَمَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِي فَذَلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوْكَبِ. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, chapter under the Adhan, calling for prayer. And also in the collection of Imam Muslim under chapter of Faith, Iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he led them in the prayer, he said, Almighty Allah is saying, some of my slaves became kafir. And some became believers. Some became disbelieving in Allah and some became believing in Allah. Whosoever said, we've been rained or the rain came as a result of such a star, this person is disbelieving in Allah, believing in the stars. And whosoever say, we've been rained by the mercy of Allah and His bounty, this one is believing in Allah, disbelieving in the stars. So stars doesn't bring about rain, neither bring about wind. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of all causes. Yes, this is true in some seasons, there is rains and storms, So this is the time when the things happen. But this is not the cause for the wind to blow or for the rain to come down.
And the Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi had divided the knowledge concerning the stars to two categories. One call it ilm al-ta'thir and one call ilm al-tasir. Ilm al-ta'thir, the knowledge of effect or impact of the stars. That means that a person will say what's going to happen on the earth as a result of what stars shine or rise or decline or whatever. This is haram and this is forbidden. And the Prophet says that whosoever learns something about the stars, indeed he had possessed some magic. The same thing as the previous hadith, whosoever said that we've been rained as a result of such a star, this person is kafir in Allah, believing in the stars. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that sun and moon, both of them is part of Allah's ayat, Allah's signs. They did not eclipse or due to the death of somebody or the birth of somebody. Okay? That the sun and the moon are from the signs of Allah. And if there is eclipse, what is the other one? Both of them eclipse for the sun and the moon. Khasuf or Kusuf. Okay. Lunar or solar eclipse that has nothing to do with the death of people or the birth of people. So somebody when he says there is an eclipse, as example, say, oh, a great person must die. Okay? Or that a great person going to be born as a result of this thing happened to the moon. Okay? So this has nothing to do with the death of people or the birth of people. So the running of the stars and the planets has nothing to do with happening on the earth and what taking place on the earth. The other type of knowledge concerning the stars is ilm al-tasyir. Ilm al-tasyir. The knowledge concerning direction and movement. And that utilize the stars for knowing directions and time for prayer. And this is permissible. And maybe it's a must sometimes, okay? Because when a person wants to make the salah, he has to make sure that the salah is in. How the person going to know the salah is in? By seeing the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun, the rising of the moon or the setting of the moon, okay? This is called ilm al-tasyir. The direction and movements and of the stars, okay? So you know if you look to the sun rising, so you know that this is the direction of the east. If you look where is the moon rising, this would be the west. So you know that this is the direction to go and to travel. This is permissible, okay? Or that you see sunset and say, okay, this is time for Maghrib prayer now. This is permissible for you to learn it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Nahl, the bees. There is a surah called Surah what? Al-Nahl means the bee. Yeah. Verse number 15, that Allah said, وَأَلْقَ فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set down in the earth mountains so that the earth doesn't be moving under your feet. And He made also anharam, rivers, and roads and ways that you may be guided. So this is from the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As He said, after this, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Alamat, marks and signs. And by the stars, they will be guided. Okay? That you will be guided in your direction, in your traveling. When you see the stars, you know that this is the direction of the east or the west. So using the stars to know the time or to know the direction is no harm, is permissible in Al-Islam. Also knowing that it's time for the spring or the time for the winter by seeing such stars, or knowing where is the direction for the Qibla. Okay? All these things is permissible. The statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من اقتبس شعبة من السحر فقد اقتبس شعبة من السحر من اقتبس شعبة من النجوم فقد اقتبس شعبة من السحر. That whosoever learns a part of knowledge related to the stars, indeed he had learned a part of magic. Okay? So by learning about the stars and assuming that the stars has impact on what's happening in our daily life, deaths of people or pairs of people or somebody being lucky or somebody being misfortune, all these things, it became, if you utilize the stars for such a purpose, this will be a form of sihr, will be a form of magic. Because magic has no reality. It only makes the people imagining things. Okay? Also, the changing of the stars, it doesn't change things. Okay? For a star to come up, or to set down, or to disappear, it doesn't affect in anything to happen on the earth. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dada mazad. Learn more or get in the much more. That means those who learn more and they get deeper and deeper in learning about the stars, they get in more in sin and more in haram. The more you learn about the stars, the more that you get in sin. Okay, and doing something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are learning one branch of magic and sorcery. The next hadith after this, the hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, concerning a person who tie a knot. Okay, and as we stated, this hadith is weak. The hadith is weak. So I'm not going to mention anything, and because the hadith, like I said, is not authentic, so we leave it alone. There's no need to go in any explanation about it. The next hadith Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, what the meaning is, shall I not tell you What is Al-Abda? Lying, sorcery. It is conveying false rumors for the purpose of causing disputes between people. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam using one of the methodology of teaching. And you know that people nowadays, they go to school to learn about teaching methodology. Okay? It's not because that you have the knowledge, this is sufficient to be a teacher. Okay? There is a methodology, how to lay down the information, how to break it down to the students, how to make some illustration, how to make the information reach the students. And one of these forms and these things was known to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he demonstrated. So this shows you that Islam is more advanced about this modern discovery and mother scientific facts and all the things that we talk about it. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala hal unabiukum, should I inform you? This is the way how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, shall I not tell you about? So he is not telling them, he first questioning them. And this them to make them more excited and get their attention more. Okay? Guess what? Like when you say to somebody, guess what? And this completely different when you come tell somebody something. He may be still working and listening to you and he say, oh, excuse me, I was not paying attention. But when you approach a person and say, guess what? You see? Like you're getting his attention. So this was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them. So to get their attention and for them to be more curious and give more concern to what he's about to tell them. And this been utilized also in the Quran, as in Surah As-Saff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. The same methodology been taught in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh you believe, should I inform you about a bargain which will save you from a torment and severe punishment? So far Allah didn't tell us. Okay? But he's getting the attention, getting you so excited about trying to know what it is. What is this kind of bargain? And what kind of business is that is going to, and this again to tell us that teaching has its lube and have a art and a special way how to present the information to the people, especially if you are a teacher or da'iyah. And al-adda here is to separate or to cut or to disunite. Whatever meaning it is, it shows something bring about distinction, okay, and separation between two people, husband and wife, a brother and brother, a sister and a sister, a community and community, whatever it is, okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them what? Because this also is a form of magic, a form of sorcery, which it caused the people to separate and stay from each other, feeling or imagining that this is a person is your enemy. Like some people say, oh, you are my worst enemy. Okay? Some people use this term, you are my worst enemy. Okay? And this is the same person that yesterday was the beloved person to you or whatever it is. So it say that it make things appear or imagining things that this person now, it look like he became my worst enemy. It's a lying. It is conveying false rumors, giving wrong information, okay, lying, for purpose of causing dispute between people, okay? It brings about disunity. Bring about disunity between the people. And this hadith shows you how we should be concerned about anything that to bring about disunity among the Muslims. Not to do anything, Safiya, to bring about hard feeling between the Muslims. Not backbiting, not slander, especially not carrying tales. Carrying tales is so terrible, okay? That you go to somebody and say, so and so say such and such about you. And you go to the other person and say, guess what? This person you think is your friend, you don't know what he was saying about you last night, okay? Carrying namima, carrying tales. So by doing this, the love and the friendship between the two people will turn to animosity. And as a result of this, will be what? Separation between the people. So it became almost like magic. Okay? It became almost like magic. You separate people. Like actually, like somebody say, he put a spell on him or whatever, he throws some magic on him, so he doesn't love the person anymore. So by causing this things, he found this person who used to be the beloved of so-and-so, he hates him. He doesn't like to be with him anymore. And we have to understand the seriousness of namima and carrying tales. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhul al-jannah qattat." A person who carry tales never will enter Jannah. Okay? And this is very serious. A person carry tales, it doesn't enter Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed by two graves and said that they are in severe punishment. And he said that one of them because he used to carry tales between others. Indeed, namima and carry tales is one of the major sins. One of the major sins. It's a bad characteristic to be with Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, in Surah Al-Qalam, verse 10, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِينٍ. Don't listen to one and don't obey the one who always swearing, not respectable to his oath, and a backbiter and a slander. The Sheikh is saying very good advice. Be careful and be aware. Whosoever carry tales to you, he will carry tales from you. if he gave you so and so talking about you, he will take from you and go to somebody and say, he's talking about you. So don't think that this person, he loves you. A person will come and say, oh, I went to Bal Tok yesterday and found Sheikh Adli there, and he was saying this and this. Oh, sister so and so, you know. Believe it or not, don't take this person as a friend. He will go also and say, oh, Sheikh Adli, sister so-and-so, and brother so-and-so, they were saying such and such in their internet about you. So anybody who can tell to you, he will take something also from you and give it to the other person. 1, 2, 3, go. Namima and Karen tales is destruction for the community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ Surah Al-Anfal, the spoils of the war, is saying in this surah, verse number 46, don't dispute with one another. So you will be defeated and your strength will go away. Okay? When you start to argue, disputing with one another, now your energy and your unity and your love, everything, okay? So tanaza and argue and debating, okay? And disputing with one another is not good. It's not good, especially between a husband and wife. Especially between a husband and wife. Okay? Because the shaitan, he loves to do this. And nothing dearer to the shaitan more than breaking the relationship between a husband and wife. Because this is the foundation of the Muslim community. So the shaitan doesn't know how to break the whole building. So he come and take it what? One brick by one, he finished one wall, he finished the house, he finished everything, okay? So no dispute, alright? No fighting, no argument, no namima, no ghiba, no slander, no backbiting. And your strength will go away. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, none of you should bargain over his Muslim brother bargaining. None of you should make khutbah over his brother intention. If somebody wants to make intention over a sister to marry her, and he already accepted the brother proposal, you shouldn't go, you understand, and make proposal over your brother proposal. Why? Because all the things, you bargain over your brother bargain, you try to make intention over your brother proposal, this thing bring about animosity between the Muslims. And this bring about destruction for the community. So we have to avoid these things to the best of our ability, because it's not from the akhlaq and the manner and the behavior of the Muslims. Okay? Again, why the Sheikh brought this hadith here, okay? Yep. No proposals. So what? Excuse me. Okay, my topic was talking about Tawheed, sir. Or Lion. Okay, and we talking about that sihr, magic, is part of shirk, which is against Tawheed. And we think that bring about animosity by carrying tales, this is a form of sihr, a form of sorcery, because it turns the love between the brothers to animosity. So this is became like a form of a magic. Alright? Now the last hadith in this chapter, inshallah, which by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma,
أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن من البيان لسحرا. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith which reported by Ibn Umar, and the hadith is authentic, it is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Alright, some eloquency can be so beautiful that it constitutes sorcery, constitutes magic. Alright, first, what is the word bayan? Al-bayan, al-fasaha wal-balagha. Okay, to be speak good. Alright, you know how to speak, not only speaking, but you know how to play with the word, not in the sense that means the flexibility of words and how you can put words together in so beautiful way that a person will give you his attention, not only by expressing yourself, no, but by saying it so good and say, oh mashallah, he said so beautiful, somebody said it and somebody said it was so good. All right and the Sheikh said, indeed this is ni'mah from Allah on the human being. Okay, this is a favor and a blessing from Allah to give us the ability that we can express ourselves, even if we did not express ourselves in a nice way. It tells that Allah gave us the ability that we be able to talk. Okay, we don't say meh as a dumbbell or new new. Okay, we can talk to each other and we can express ourselves. So the Sheikh had divided al-bayan to two categories: al-bayan, explanation, which not case that you need it. Okay, bayanu la budda min. How you say this, Mr. Askar? Bayanu la budda min. No, it's not an is expression which you have no choice. Is that mean the basic to express yourself? Okay, you have no other choice. Okay, that everybody is included under this expression: a lawyer, or a doctor, or a man walking in the street, male, female, person went to school or didn't go to school, he can express his need in whatever words. Okay? Maybe he didn't use must, he say should, and instead of say, so he expressed himself. As example, when you're hungry, say, I'm hungry, or I want to eat, or I give me something. Okay? And when he's thirsty, he can express himself, say, I want something to drink. Alright? This is, say, a basic expression, okay, which everybody is included. The doctor will say, I'm hungry, and the person who is educated will say, I'm hungry, and the person in the street will say, so the basic word, utilizing the basic word to express yourself. The second kind of bayan, the what we call, is so eloquent and so good, okay, to such a degree that it will make you sit to your chair and you can sit there for hours and hours and listening without even thinking about the time. Okay, a person talking so good that make you forget about even how much time been there in this lecture or in this speech. And this is the type that we're talking about in this hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said that part of the speech or some speech are magic. Okay, some speech is so good to such a degree it like putting a magic in you. It make you
like you forgot about yourself, you forgot about your appointment. And it's not this only, that after you finish here in this lecture or khutbah, you're ready to take all what's in your bucket and drop it in the charity box. Somebody will get up and say, give donation. And you'll think about it for 2-3 times. Should I give $5 or I give the 50 cents? And you keep debating until you reach to the charity box. Now the 50 cents became what? Became a quarter. And somebody will give you a khutbah that you hear it and it's so motivation to such a degree that you're ready not to give only what's in your bucket. You look in your bucket, you find $20. And after say to Brother Najim, do you have $50 I can borrow until I go home? You see? So this is two different speech. You see, the difference now what I'm talking about? Somebody made you debating, should I give the money or no? Finally, he gave only a quarter. And somebody, he gave all what's in his bucket. And so this is the type of speech that we're talking about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that some kind of speech addressing is a source of sorcery, a means of magic. It will make you change what you want to do and you go ahead with what you heard. Why? Because the way how he embraced you with his speech made you willing to do such a thing. Okay? So it became almost like a magic. So we understand that not all the speech, you see, couldn't even agree about this. And sometimes what the person saying is nothing. But because the way how the person has the ability of talking, like some people here in America, I myself heard them personally I heard them, and you know that they nothing except deviation. But the way how they talk, it will make you believe them and willing to be part of this organization. Although that he may even tell you that God is a black man. And you know that God is not a man. You see? But the way how he talk, it make you even forget about that this again is for Islam, and you willingly understand to go to march or to give money or to participate or do whatever it is. And I saw it here in America with the plenty people. Okay? So the person what he have can be a falsehood, but the way how he addressing and the way how he using the words and the sentences, all the things will catch your attention, get your heart and your mind, and after this you find yourself almost you have no choice except to do what he wants you to do. Okay? So it will make something almost like a magic. So, what is understood from this hadith? Is this kind of a speech, if somebody have a good khutbah, say, oh, astaghfirullah, this brother, he give a good khutbah, a'udhu billah, this is the magic, I'm not coming to this mosque anymore, you see? And somebody else, you go and you say, oh, brother, he was putting me to sleep. Alhamdulillah, akhi, because at least this man putting me to sleep in the khutbah, not like the other imam, he is putting some spells on me or some magic on me. No. The Shaykh Rahmatullah alayhi, he gave very good explanation to this. He said, as for the speech itself, you could not praise or disgrace it. The speech itself, okay, we could not say this speech is bad or good as a speech. But we need to look what is the goal, what he's intending by this speech. what he's aiming towards this lecture. Is he trying to bring us to something pleasing to Allah, or he's trying to take us out of the obedience of Allah to something else? So don't disgrace or credit the speech itself, but see what is the purpose and the goal behind such a speech. Okay? So if he used a good speech towards a good goal, this is something good. And if he used a good speech towards bad and evil goal, this itself it became bad and became magic and became wrong. Okay? So don't you understand, classify or grade the speech itself, but grade it according the intention and the goal the speaker wants you to reach by his lecture. So if somebody got up and he kept talking to us, remind us about Hadith Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the verses and about the Jannah and all the things, and telling you spend fi sabilillah, when you spend Allah will spend in you, when you give Allah will bless it more, when, and the next thing that you're ready to give. You see? He says this is nothing wrong in this, because the intention and the goal of this is good. He's directing you towards something pleasing to Allah and bringing you closer to Jannah. So decree So grade this speech to according the goal itself. Okay? But if somebody with a good lecture, good tongue, good speech, and he tried to make the evil and the haram and the gambling and the usury to be lawful, and it's okay because you are in America, and it's too hard to obtain a house living in America, and the necessity and the need, the inflation, and with all this good speech, finally after the lecture you're willing to go and buy a car from usury and buy a house from the bank, and everything will be through usury. So this is what. So now we grade this speech according the intention and the goal that he was talking about. So this is now something bad, and this is a magic. Alright? Does anybody understand anything from what I'm saying? Okay, anybody here in the website? Yes. You see, the sister says that, yes, Shaitan has a good speech too. This is true. Believe it or not, listen to this. Hus, it's good to see you, Hus, tonight. Welcome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ يُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. Indeed, the shayateen will reveal to their friends so they can abuse you. You understand? Allah is saying the shayateen, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. Indeed, the shaitan inspire his friends, his companions from the men, from mankind, to dispute with you. So the shaitan will give the person words and ideas, and he will debate with you, and he will win the argument. Okay? So what we say here? If a person Allah bless him with a good tongue and ability of speaking, he has to be careful, because he can lead the people to God or mislead people and take them away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of this, in conclusion we say, don't go to a lecturer or a sheikh
or a teacher or Maulana or whatever you want to call him, because his speech, brother so-and-so, he has very good lectures. No. First, we want to know what this person is about. Is he about Tawheed? Is he about the right Aqeedah? Is he about Sunnah? If he so, now we can go and attend his lectures and his teaching. Otherwise, we are putting ourselves in danger spot by allowing ourselves to sit listening to this person who may make you deviate from As-Sirat al-Mustaqim with the sweetness of his tongue. So don't tell me how good this person is talking. Okay? First we want to know, did this person learn study Islam? Is he knowledgeable? Can somebody certify him? Can somebody give him tazkiyah? Can somebody vouch for him? Does any experience of teaching or studying he got? Before we allow ourselves to listen, because we are a human being, our hearts can attach to what the person saying, and we can be go astray by listening. Okay? So never put yourself in this position, because we are human beings. We fall with emotion, okay? And we can be diverted from the truth, and we can be getting out of the sunnah because the sweetness of the tongue of such a person. So never ever put yourself in a position that some magic will be falling in you through somebody's tongue. And inshallah, with this we come to conclusion to our class for today, because it's time for Salat al-Maghrib already. And I would like to thank all of you for listening. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And inshallah, I don't know about next week, we may have to change the time. Or maybe if somebody can suggest, because it's been getting so close, Maghrib getting earlier and earlier and earlier every day. And we are not making even 1 hour, or barely we make 1 hour in the class. So we need to change the class, maybe to after Maghrib or after Isha, I don't know what time. If anybody has any suggestions, I would like to hear it. And also, since Alhamdulillah, and I thank Allah and I praise Him for allowing me and helping me to finish the second album of Kitab al-Tawheed, and I'm going to stop now, and we're going to change to a different subject to give a break and give a different flavor to the people. Maybe we deal with Riyad al-Saliheen, especially we about to approach Ramadan soon, in couple of months. Is it? In what month is this? September? October? Yeah. We have less than 2 months, so we need to get more to things what you call nourishing our hearts with things to develop our faith and all. Well, I'm not saying that Tawheed is not developing our faith. This is the most important subject that I ever taught, and the most important subject that we ever can study. But we human beings, and sometimes people when stay in one book, they get tired after a while. So to change the subject. So I don't know what subject I'm going to be teaching starting next week, but maybe I'm thinking about Riyad al-Saliheen, Allah knows best. But if anybody have any suggestion concerning the time for class, I think 6 o'clock would be too early for people who work, because people would like to go and take a bite before they come to the class. And time between Maghrib and Isha, I don't know how good it is if we finish Salah by 7. By 8, which never happened. People finish Sunnah and all the things. So from 8 to 9, and we pray 9:15, still is not enough time. Anybody have any suggestion? I think we should start with Brother Najmuddin, because with all respect to everybody that is a regular listener, plus the most important element, that he drives about 2 hours at least every time to come to the class and 2 hours to go back. What time suits you without putting you in any, not putting you on the spot or putting you in any difficulty?
Well, for me,
Maybe the masjid will have to provide sandwiches and crackers, some tea. Because it would be good also for people to come to Maghrib and go back home. So, 6:15. Okay, anybody have any suggestions in the website? No, I'm sorry, we could not entertain any question because we already late for the time for Salah. We did not even call the event. Anybody have suggestion for time to clock? Any time is good here? Okay. So let's assume, let's say 6 o'clock, inshallah, starting from next week. And if anybody has a suggestion for the coming classes, please you can tell me also. Okay, we'll try to get back with you, inshallah, at 8:30 for the Arabic class. And if you have any questions, any suggestions, inshallah, we can deal with you. Never mind, no problem. Okay, thank you very much. Have a good night, everybody. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, jazakumullah khairan for listening. And inshallah, this will be the end of our class. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك